Well, David has prepared and he will share with us. Let me pray.
Yes.
I think as we ably seen this morning again, that it is all about you, and we can only understand and see when we turn to you and when we let you teach us. And so I just pray for David as he shares the word from you. We pray that our hearts be teachable. We pray, David, that you be able to share the word unhindered and unencumbered. Pray a hedge of protection around your mind, that you be able to just focus on the word of the Lord. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. It's funny hearing Tony encourage people to sit in the front. When I became a Christian, I was just taught that the anointing was in the front. And I just believed that for a long time. And then I realized that actually God is able to touch everywhere. So those of you in the back will have the Lord touch you as well. Don't worry. However, I have found that my attention span does not function as well in the back. But that's all right. Well, we are on a journey as a church. God is speaking to us about His grace setting us free. Setting us free from sin. We've started out the year with Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. That we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. It's about running the race that God is after. He wants to deliver us. He wants to set us free so that we can run the race for which He's created us in Christ Jesus. He's made us for good things. He's made us for future, for hope. For those good works that He prepared in Christ Jesus for us to do long ago in advance. He's created us in the image of God. And from Genesis onward, we see that that image is constantly under attack by Satan. Constantly under attack, lest God be glorified, lest our lives actually live to His glory. The enemy is after us at all times. And Hebrews is telling us that in order to run the race without entanglements, without having somebody trip us up, we have to throw off things that are hindering. We have to throw off sin that can so easily entangle us. As I've studied various passages the last few months on this topic, I just feel like we're in a war. We're in a big war. Because the enemy doesn't want God to be glorified through your life. Whatever area he's held back the glory of God, he wants to keep the lid on. Wherever he's held you down, he wants to keep you down. Wherever we walk in failure, he wants to keep us in failure. But God has a plan to deliver us. God has a plan to set us free. And today's message is going to, I hope, be an arrow right into the heart of the enemy. It's very simple. I'm going to do a lot of review. If you're taking notes, you can write a title from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. Find out what pleases God. Find out what pleases God. That's the title. And that's the message. I can sit down now. But since our kids aren't done with Sunday school yet, for the sake of the Sunday school teachers, I will talk on. But all you really need to remember is find out what pleases God. Let's read in Ephesians chapter 5. Turn with me to the New Testament. Halfway through or a bit more, you get to the book of Ephesians. If you get to Hebrews and all the T books, you've gone too far. Hebrews chapter 5. We're made in the image of God. And so Paul is talking about looking like God, imitating God. And he begins with these words in verse 1. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For once you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And we'll stop there. Verse 10 and verse 17. Find out what pleases the Lord. Verse 10. Verse 17. Don't be foolish. Understand what the Lord's will is. As we've been studying God's word, it's been my prayer that light would expose sin, that God's light would expose the enemy. Not expose, how do I say this? The goal is not to expose people for shame. The goal is to expose the enemy so that you win the battle. Whenever we're in a war, intelligence is sent out to find out what the enemy's doing. And it's good for those in the war to know where the enemy's at, where their tanks are, where their aircraft is, what their plans are. It's good for us to know where sin is lurking, how it trips us up. But we have so married together our identity with our sinful nature that we don't want to go down that road because it causes us to hang our head in shame. And what we've been aiming at as we've gone through these scriptures in Romans chapter 5 and 6 the last couple of weeks has been for us to see from God's perspective what it means that our sinful nature has been crucified with Christ. We've been given the nature of Jesus. Yes, sin is still raging and yelling and tempting and taunting, but we have been set free from its power, and it is the enemy. Sin is the enemy. And to begin to uncover and expose that enemy so that you and I can walk in the freedom of Jesus. That's our goal. Our goal is not just to turn up the heat and make ourselves feel shamed, make ourselves feel like a loser. Our goal is that we expose the enemy and that we begin to walk like those reflecting the glory of God, not just forgiven failures. We want to walk as triumphant children of God. We want to actually be able to say that I'm following Jesus. Can you imagine Paul, who was able to say, "Follow me as I follow Christ"? Whoa. He wasn't being arrogant. He knew that he was following Jesus. And he was able to say to people around him, "Just follow me. Come on, I'm following Jesus. Come with me." What a wonderful freedom that is, to know that we're following Jesus. God wants to give us that grace and that power. Find out what pleases God. Maybe we don't want to know. Or two, maybe I'm afraid to know. Do we want to know what pleases God? And this is a very simple truth that the Lord wants us to get in our hearts today. He wants to shoot an arrow right into the enemy's heart in an area that the enemy has been stopping us. Finding out what pleases God. I grew up in the church. I learned all the Bible in Sunday school. Our family read the scriptures together, as well as Huck Finn and Little House on the Prairie. And I asked Jesus in my heart when I was 9 years old. I didn't know it at the time, but he used to give me visions of being a pastor. I thought I was daydreaming. I was baptized when I was 14 years old. But when I was 18 years old, I wanted to know what God's will was. I wanted to find out what His plan was, what His future was. And so I began to pray, "Lord, show me Your will." And God didn't answer. "Lord, teach me Your way." And He didn't answer. "Lord, what do You want me to do with my life?" And He didn't answer. And one day, I was reading John chapter 10, and Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice." And I got pretty upset because I wasn't hearing God talk to me. And so I cried out to the Lord and I said, "Lord, this book says that if I'm Your sheep, I hear Your voice. Why don't You talk to me?" And that night God talked to me. And He said, "David, you keep asking me what My will is about this area or that area or that area or that future in your life because you want to know what My plan is so you can compare it with your plan. When you throw away your plan, I'll talk to you." That's when the presence of the Lord came into my room. And I began to weep. And suddenly my plan didn't matter anymore. Because the power of God was there. His love was there. His grace was there. And He enabled me to no longer care about my plan, about my future, about my girlfriend, or about my car and my truck, or about my desire to be a carpenter. Suddenly those things didn't matter anymore. All I wanted was His will. And I begin to say, "Lord, this area, this area, this area." And I listed off everything I could think of that was of value to me. I said, "Lord, I don't care anymore. I just want Your plan." That's when God started talking to me when I was 18. That's when I can say that I begin to follow Jesus when I was 18. That's when His word began to show me more things than I'd ever known before. And that's when life became an adventure instead of a duty. And life with God has continued to be a great adventure, because now it's His plan. Where are we going today, Lord? What's next, Lord? His will. And what fun it is to be married to Him, to be linking arms with Him and going where He's going. Jesus has a wonderful plan. Find out what pleases Him. You see, many times we live within this fenced off area that we're at peace about. And we know God's will within this area that we're willing to look at. But there's other areas of our life that we don't want to find out what pleases God. And these are the areas that the enemy still has victory. These are the areas that we keep in the dark. But there's some areas that we're willing to shine the light of God on, or shine the light of His Word on, or openly say, Lord, what pleases You in this area of my life? And in those areas, there's life. But God wants us to be free. God wants us to reflect His image. God wants us to be all that He's created you to be in Christ Jesus. And there's other areas of our life that sometimes we don't want to know because we're not sure we want what He will say. There's some areas of our life that we're afraid to know because we're not sure that we can perform. And this is where the Lord is speaking to us in the last 2 weeks. That grace is the grace, the undeserved favor of God to forgive us when we fail and to enable us to live for Him. He gives us the life of Jesus Christ. And what God wants us to see is that you don't have to live just in this area that you know you can perform in. That's living by works instead of by grace and faith. When we're afraid to go into the other areas of our life and ask God, what is Your will? It's a pretty good signal to us, a pretty good indication to us, that we're still living by works instead of by faith in Jesus. I'm afraid to look in this area because what if His will I can't live up to? But it's not about living up to. It's about the life of Christ enabling us. But what if I don't make it? The grace of God covers us. But He wants us to live in all of His life for us. Does this make any sense? I feel like it's actually a key area to understanding lordship, to actually living in the light. If we can start with finding out what pleases God, then the enemy is exposed. Let's see if we can find some examples. It's easy to live in this area that we've fenced off. And we say, in this area, well, Lord, I'm married. Do you want me to stay married to my wife? Yep. All right. Well, praise God. I know what His will is. I committed for life. Well, I've got 4 kids. Should I try to be patient and kind with them? Yep, that's God's will. Well, I'll find out what pleases God. Now, I don't always live up to that, but you know what? I'm trying. I'm trying, right? Should I be honest in business? Yes, I should be honest. I should not cheat people. I should not overcharge them. I should not evade taxes and yes, yes, yes. There's some areas like that that we know what pleases God, and we're content to live in that area. Lord, should we use birth control or not? Everybody just got nervous. Now, you know that scripture that talks about those who eat meat and those who don't eat meat? What was Paul dealing with there? He was dealing with some where people just disagreed. And he didn't even try to bring a solution. I just challenge you that in every area of our life, we say, Lord, what would you have me do? Oh, no, no, no. Don't even want to ask the possibilities there. I've made some decisions. Well, it's up to you and God. Lord, driving reckless is not in God's will. How about going 8 kilometers over the speed limit when I'm on Highway 1? How about the kind of music I listen to? How about the kind of entertainment I enjoy? Now, I'm not giving you a list of wrongs. I'm giving you a list of areas that Christians have different levels and different decisions in these areas. I'm giving you a list of things that some Christians would argue from Scripture one way, and other Christians would argue from Scripture another way. The question that God wants us to deal with, though, is, will you bring those areas to Him? There's a war on whether or not I sign up for the draft. If you grew up Baptist, it's easy. If you grew up Mennonite, the answer is easy also. If you grew up in our kind of church, you've got voices shouting at you from both sides. What are the areas that God wants to give us the leading of the Spirit? He wants to lead you. He wants us to follow Jesus in every area of our life. To not have areas that are roped off as the untouchables, I can't go there, I can't ask Him. Because when we do that, it's easy to have some areas that we think, I'm not going to spend a week trying to figure out if I should go 8 kilometers an hour over or not. It's not worth it. But there's areas then that we have chosen to hide our weakness in or to hide our sin in. There's areas that the Holy Spirit has already convicted us that we don't want to go down that road because it will be exposed. This is what God wants to deal with today. Why is it that there's areas that we actually don't want to ask God what His will is? Is it because we're afraid we can't perform? Or is it because we don't want to be accountable? We don't want to lose something that we've already been walking in? How do I dress? What do I look at? How do I spend my time? Where is my thought life? How do I enjoy my reputation? How do others view me? These are all areas that are important to God. Let's pause just a minute and ask Him, not what pleases Him, ask Him if there's areas that are fenced off. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, You have come to bring us life You have come to shine your spotlight on us, to set us free, that we might walk as children of light. Lord, would you show us, are there areas that we have just not looked over the fence? Are there areas that we have kept you out of that part of our house and just shown you the living room? Amen. Find out what pleases God in those areas. All of our areas. Derek, I'd like you to share that story you told me the other day. Tony, do you have the mic? Just hand it back. Derek Funk walks to school every day. And he told me a story yesterday or the day before about some dogs.
It's amazing how God can speak to you. Actually, I thought I was supposed to write a children's story about this. But I walk every day. We live up on Triumph, and I walk down the hill, across the approach to number one, into the Empire Bowl, and through Hastings Park to school. And almost every morning, I walk at the same time, and almost every morning, there's a gentleman there who has two beautiful black dogs that he spends time training. And these dogs are very, very well trained. They will sit and listen to his whistle or his command, and then they will go and do whatever they're supposed to do, and then they sit down again. And it's just amazing. And the one morning I was walking down, and I just kind of stopped halfway down the stairs, and I'm looking. And these dogs are just just excitedly waiting for the next command. And then he'd blow the whistle, and they'd go off and do it, and they'd bring whatever to him or do whatever they're supposed to do, and they go back and they just be really pumped. And I'm going, these dogs look really happy. So I kind of wander down, and I wander over to this guy, and I just have a nice little chat, and I said, these dogs are very well trained. He goes, oh, why, thank you. They look really happy. And he told me that these dogs are actually happier when they were doing this type of training and exercises with him than when he just takes them to a park and lets them run around. They enjoy that, but this is what they love, is when they were just completely attentive and obedient to their master, and they were just most happy at that point.
Thank you. Now, there's some parts of that analogy that I know we don't want to compare ourselves to dogs and that kind of thing, but the point is clear, isn't it? These dogs are happy when they're being useful, when they're going through the paces of exactly what the master had in his mind, instead of just running around doing what they want. And we're the same way. When we live in freedom, as Romans says, in freedom from righteousness, we're away from the control of God's righteousness. We're away from His Spirit. We are free from His control. That's like us running around the park. You can do what you want, but it's nothing like the joy you have of being part of the Master's will and knowing that His pleasure is upon you, knowing that the one who created you for purpose is empowering you for exactly that purpose, and you're fulfilling everything that you were created to be. That is a wonderful place to be. How do we get there? We get there by Him taking us there. And this is what He's doing in our lives right now as a church. Just want to quickly review the last three sermons. From Romans 4, God will credit righteousness to us who believe. He's promised to give us the righteousness of Jesus. Right? He's promised that we're justified through faith. And this gives us peace with God. We have peace through Jesus. And through Jesus we have access into the grace that we stand in. What an incredible thing that God has given us. That He's given us His righteousness. We don't earn it. It's not by works. It's by faith in the total work of Jesus on the cross. What Jesus has done has taken the punishment that was due us, paid for our sins, and then exchanged our death for His life. And He's given us His righteousness. That His righteousness is credited to our account, not our own. We live in this place of hope, or shall we say, confident expectation, confidently knowing what the future holds. And because of this, we go through a continuous process of embracing suffering. We do have a struggle with sin right now. In this life, temptations abound. Sin is always raging and knocking at our door. And during those times, we suffer. And during that time, it builds our perseverance. And we hang on to Jesus. And we don't let go. And He tests our character. And our character is found genuine. Which brings us to a place of hope. Where we look back and we say, oh, it's wonderful. While I was God's enemy, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. What a wonderful God we have. Christ died for us. He justified us and saved us from God's wrath. Do we really believe this? Because if you really believe this, then you can live in every area of your life with God. Not just that fenced off area that you think you're able to perform up to His levels, up to expectations. Not just that little area that you think, I can let God into my living room. But you know how it is when somebody drops in unannounced at your home, and maybe you don't know what it is, but there's certain rooms that they don't go into when they drop in unannounced. Of course, if you have an open house, they can look through every closet and see your beautiful home that you live in. But most of the time, they drop in unannounced and they come to the living room and maybe the kitchen. But the bedrooms are off limits and the laundry room is off limits and the playroom is off limits. And all the moms are smiling at me right now. So there. You know what this is like, right? Our lives shouldn't be like that with Jesus. We should not live just in the living room and the kitchen of our life. Your life is like this incredible castle. Go and explore the rest of the chambers. Take Jesus with you so that His spotlight can shine on every area of your thinking, every area of your attitudes, every area of your goals and your dreams. That He can test it, that He can shine, and that wherever the enemy's involved, you say, oh, that's not good, get it out of here. And He can bring in His life and His grace and His peace to our total complete life. What a freeing, wonderful place it is. We live in what we call the state of freedom. In Romans chapter 6, Paul describes to us why it's a freedom. It's a freedom because we are now dead to sin. We are alive to God in Christ Jesus. He's not saying that sin doesn't tempt us anymore. He's saying that you are dead to it. It has no hold on you in Christ Jesus. In and of yourself, yes. But you have died. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your life. Don't let it rule over us. It has no right to. My old life was crucified with Jesus. It has been separated from me. It cannot have lordship in my life. Don't let it rule and reign. And secondly, don't offer ourselves to it willingly. Why would we? The results of our death. And Paul goes on to say the results of are those things that we're so ashamed of we don't want to talk about. And he's saying, remember how we used to live. We don't want to go down that road anymore. And we don't have to. We're dead to it. Why? Because sin is not your master. You're not under law. You're under grace. Under law, I have to perform to these rules, and I will be found wanting every time. But under grace, all of that is taken away because the law has been fulfilled in Jesus. He has performed everything required. He did say it's finished, and He gives us His life in place of our own. And this incredible teaching about all that God has done for us, this incredible grace that He's given us His life in exchange for our death, is like a form or a mold. That Paul says it's like a mold that He takes us like Play-Doh and pushes us into and forms us into His image. He makes us like Him by this teaching called grace, by this teaching of Jesus. He trains us and shapes us and makes us like Him because He takes us and commits us to this wonderful good news about the exchange with Jesus. And that wonderful good news is a teacher in our life that forms us and shapes us. Romans chapter 6. I think it's about verse 17. Find out what pleases the Lord. And this is where we're at today. Find out what pleases the Lord. Do you want to know? Are you afraid to know? If we don't want to know, then it means that Romans has not yet convinced us that His way is life and sin's way is death. If we're afraid to know, then it means that Romans has not yet convinced us that faith enables us to live by grace instead of living by works under the law. And what God wants to do is not just give us this wonderful understanding of grace to apply to this fenced-in area that we already live in, but He wants us to apply it to our whole life. He wants to shoot the enemy dead. He wants to take away sin's power. He wants this Word, the Word of God, to perform its function of being a sharp double-edged sword that cuts and divides and separates. He wants this Word to be a weapon against the enemy. And these incredible truths about grace, He wants to set our whole life free. Not just to give us joy, so that when we get together on a Sunday morning, we can focus on that area that we already live in beauty in. Focus on that area that I can sit down with Jeff and talk about our kids and talk about our wives and talk about how we're still married and we haven't divorced yet. He wants us to be able to sit down with each other and talk about our attitudes and talk about our values and find out that actually Stephanie might have a different value than I do and turn with, well, Lord, what do You want? Instead of, there's certain areas I don't want to talk about because Stephanie's ideas might challenge mine. So let's just not go into that area of life. Where do I spend my money? What do I do with that which He's entrusted to me? Where do I live? What is my future? Where has He called me to? Where has He called my children to? How am I dealing with that baby dedication from 18 years ago where I said, Lord, whatever you've given for this child, I release them into your will? Those are issues that people in their 50s have to deal with. Not everything about following Jesus comes when you're 20. Is that right? What about my reputation? Do I live for the pleasure of God or the praises of others? What about my employment? Is God in my workplace? Does He lead me with my co-workers? Does He lead me with the future business plans? Does He have His leading in my career path? Or is this my goal and I'm driven for that success? If it is, when you're 55 and 60 and you've arrived, it will still be empty. When you find your goal, when you've attained your success, if it's just out of your own ambition, it will still be empty. But the adventure of God is today I follow Christ. The adventure of God is today His Spirit leads us. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, says Romans chapter 8. God wants to set us free. He wants West Coast Christian Church to be free. We sang a song this morning, and for our inheritance, give us the lost. He wants to do that. That's the inheritance of Jesus. Jesus gave Himself so that He would inherit you. He gave Himself because He wanted an incredible, beautiful, spotless bride. And He went to the dregs of society and He laid down His life for us, His enemies. And He purchased us to make us beautiful for Himself. Has He got His money's worth yet? Well, He will. He's going to keep on shaping us and molding us by His grace and His love to make us beautiful and to use us to reach the lost, to bring in more and more and more to His kingdom. But God doesn't want us as West Coast Christian Church right now in 2006 to just understand a few neat things and keep living in this fenced-in area that we're confident of our abilities in. He actually wants to make us whole. He actually wants to restore all the areas of the castle that are closed right now. All of the hidden rooms that aren't functioning like they're supposed to. He wants curtains in the window and lights turned on and activity happening and life going on and ballroom dances and parties and feast, and the castle should be full of life. And when He said to Nicodemus that what it means is that if you have faith in Him, you get a new life, He meant that you're born again. That He gives us His life. It doesn't mean that this area that we've arrived at by our good teaching and our ability to come up to what Jesus expected, that now I have life in this little area, and if I get good enough, I'll get life in the rest of my castle. It's not about that. It's about Him coming and filling your castle with life. His life. It's not about your life getting more disciplined and your life having more ability and your life getting better and better until you've performed. It's about the life of Jesus, because He said that my life is dead. Dead people don't accomplish much anymore. Dead bodies don't perform much. They're dead. And he says that as far as he's concerned, our life has been crucified with him. He exchanges and gives us his righteousness, his life. This is the message of grace that enables us to stand. And he says that we have access into it through Jesus. What he wants us to do, which the enemy hates, and the enemy is probably whispering in your ear right now, he wants you to take him into every room of the castle. He wants you to have conversations with other people. I'll pick on Stephanie. And when Stephanie challenges my worldview or challenges my values, that I'm not afraid to go down that road because Jesus is going to show me his perspective. And his perspective is full of life and full of grace. And Romans must convince us of the fact that my own living leads to that which I'm now ashamed of. His living leads to life. All throughout the Scripture, we find that his plans are good for us. He always has our best in store. I never know better than him. He always knows best. He's out to bless me. He's not out to hold a heavy hammer over my head and wait for me to miss. He's out to bless me. King David even once said that he stoops out of heaven to make me great. Incredible. Let me read Psalms 25. King David understood that taking God into every room of your life was for his own benefit. And he wrote it like this. Psalms 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame. Don't let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you, whose hope is in you, will ever be put to shame. But they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Do you want to know what pleases God? Look at verse 4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his way. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. We'll stop there. You can read the rest of it on your own. But look at the kind of attitude that King David has when he takes God into his private life. He assumes that being shown God's way is a good thing. He understands that God is great in mercy and love, verse 6. Because he says that these things are from old. For all time he's known about God's mercy and love. He understands that he can ask God, Lord, don't remember the sins of my youth. Verse 7, remember not the sins of my youth, but according to your love, remember me. For you are good, O Lord. Verse 8. God instructs sinners in their ways. Now that's what we need to hear. Whatever area of your closets are off limits to God, wherever darkness is lurking or the unknown is lurking, what will he say? I've never thought about that. Which is correct? I don't know. What is true? Wherever there's doors that are closed for whatever reason, let the Word encourage us that even if it's full of sin, God wants to instruct sinners in their way. And David says that's a good thing. That's very different than God wanting to condemn, to make you hang your head, to live in shame. He's bringing life. Let Him into your castle. Ask Him the questions. Should I be living here? Should I have relationships with this person? Should I hang out with that crowd? Lord, what do you think of this movie we're watching tonight? Take Him into those areas. Verse 9, He guides the humble. The proud He resists. But He guides the humble. If you humble yourself, lay down your life, recognize that my old life has died with Jesus, I'm not living my life. I have His life to live. What a glorious privilege it is. Take Him into every area, every sphere of your being, and let Him lead you so that the enemy can be exposed and driven out. Wherever the enemy's lurking, it's going to bring shame down the road. Let Him lead you into what is life. Tony?
Thank you, Dave. I'm on, yeah? Have a song? David shared a challenging word with us. I'd like to encourage you to dwell on it. David will lead us in one song and then you'll be dismissed. We'll keep this place here a time where we can reflect on what we learned. And if you would be so kind and take conversations downstairs or outside. And there's people here to pray with you if you like prayer in the front. I have one thought that might be helpful from what David was sharing, and that is maybe look at some things you have surrendered to the Lord in the past and remember how terrifying it was to let go of that. But look back and see what blessing it came out of it. May that be encouraging to you if you will be able to take that step then, to take the next step with the next thing in your life.